right, get your Bibles out. We're going to be turning a lot tonight. Tonight's kids' night. Remember that? We've been looking at the family, mom, dad, and now we get to the kiddos. And there are really two primary things that the Bible tells kids to do. So, well, let's see if we know have a kid that knows. What kid knows what the Bible tells you to do? Anybody? Give me one. Honor thy father and thy mother. That is one of those. That's in Exodus chapter 20, and it's repeated throughout the scripture as a theme, all right? So listen up, kids. This is what you're supposed to do. Mom and dad, this is, by the way, the expectation that you should have. What's the other one? What's the other one, Mr. Clayton? Do you know? Obey. That's right. I heard that from Titus too. Obey. Honor and obey. That's what we're going to look at tonight from the Word of God. I want to teach the kids tonight how to honor and obey. I want to teach moms and dads what it is we ought to expect in this way of honor and obey. I want to teach grandparents who have this. Sometimes, you know, grandmas and grandpas are wonderful to have because they're cheap and easy babysitters. But they don't always help in the parenting process. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever heard your kids say something like this to you, grandma or grandpa? You never let me get by with that when I was... And I want you to understand that the standard has not changed. Do you understand? The expectation is still for those kids to honor and obey. And so grandparents have a really important role in this to support mom and dad in this concept so that we don't have this, you know, dichotomy going on and the kids are trying to figure out just what they're supposed to do. I remember, I'm going to tell a story. You're not supposed to do this when you have kids as a pastor, but I'm going to tell it anyway. So one of my kids, who shall remain nameless... But she struggled with caffeine and sugar. When she had caffeine or sugar, it went straight to my nervous system. You know what I mean? And but she'd go to Grandma and Grandpa's house, and Mamma and Papa's, all right, and they would load her up. And she'd come home, and I'm not making this up, at 2 o'clock in the morning, we'd hear this thunk, 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 and we, what is going on? And so we go, and there she would be standing on her head, kicking her feet against the wall, singing. She is just so wild. And so I said to my mom one day, I don't know if you realize this, but when you give her candy, I spank her. What? I still expect her to obey, candy or no. And you're not helping her. And I made my mom feel bad. Okay, I'll stop. I'm like, please help me, right? That was all I was asking, just help. Well, that's what we're going to look at is how we go about doing this. Let's go to the Lord and ask him to bless our time together. Father, as we study your word together tonight, I pray that you would teach every young person here how they might honor and obey. Teach every parent and grandparent the expectation that we should have for our children. Help us all to understand that we never stop in this process of honoring and obeying. And Father, we'll thank and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is a tough thing for us, right? I'm well aware that when a man grows up, he gets married, a man cleaves into his wife, he leaves his father and his mother to do that. And he sets up his own household. I'm going through that process myself, right? As my son is getting married, his fiance is here today. And so, you know, it's that process of letting go and letting them, you know, get in there and start their own lives. But when do you stop honoring your father and your mother? Well, there is an answer, and it is when they quit being your father and your mother, which, by the way, is never, right? That is exactly the point. So the honoring part never goes away. The obedience part might be a little bit more of a struggle or a stretch, If mom and dad are being wise, they're going to let go and allow them, their children, to establish some things on their own. Tonight, teenagers, I'm going to tell your parents the proper age for you to start dating. And I'm going to tell your parents the proper age for you to get a job and for you to get married. Are you ready? I mean, this is going to be exciting. I'm going to shake everybody up tonight. And I'm going to do this not on Pastor John's opinion, but on the authority of the Word of God. So let's get it out. If you want to turn, you might want to just write down, because I'm going to read through a lot of verses. This is one of those unusual times in which we're doing, topical message. And so we're just going to look at it. First of all, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Let's just read it so you know it's there. Honor, it says, thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Unless you think that's just an Old Testament concept, when you get over to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And it goes on, I don't have it right in front of me, but it goes on to say, for this is the first commandment with promise. That promise is that your days be long. But this gets to be a struggle. It seems as if that God promises that if you are an obedient, parent honoring child, then you're going to live a long time. And yet we would all say that we know some young people who died very young, and they died in the process of showing honor and obedience to their parents, and we struggle sometimes with that. And let me help you a couple ways with that. I can't prove this. This is just me thinking out loud. I think that, it's possible like this. Maybe in God's wisdom, he understood that your son would have died when he was 7 because he was doing something silly and dishonoring and disobedient, and his life would have ended at 7. But since he honored and obeyed, he lived to be 15. Do you understand? And so in reference to that, his life was longer, was extended by God, when he might have otherwise died younger. And so I'm aware, I have a 5-year-old, my brother died when he was 5 years of age. I don't even know how much dishonor you can show to a parent in the first 5 years of your life. Although those of you who have 4-year-olds are saying a lot. And I understand how that works. It says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, children, obey your parents. Here's what it says, in all things. Give me an amen, mom and dad. That's what the Bible says. Don't be afraid of that. That also means you have the responsibility of it, mom and dad, but that's what the Bible says. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Hebrews chapter 13, I'm aware, is not talking about parental authority here, but as a generic statement about authority, listen to what the Word of God says in verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Does that sound like a role of a parent? It does. Now, it's talking about pastors in this particular passage, but it sounds like the role of a parent. They have for they watch for your souls. Listen to what it says. It goes on. As they, your parents, must give an account. Guess what? Mom and dad. Just like your pastor is going to stand before God, and I'm going to give an account for how I handled the Word of God in presenting it to this congregation. I'm going to give an account of that. No question. I'm the watcher of your soul. I'm to teach it and preach it. That's my job. But as parents, it's the same. You're the watcher of their soul. And you will one day stand before God and give an account for what you have done in the lives of your children as it is affected by the Word of God, as it relates to God's Word. And it goes on, listen to what it says. Now listen up, kids, this is important. That they may do it with joy. Have you ever thought sometimes that your mom and dad just don't seem to enjoy being a parent? Can I give you a couple of reasons why that might be? When children are obeying and submitting, as this verse says, to mom and dad, the way they ought, then there is great joy in the authority. I can speak this to this as a pastor. You folks make it very easy for me to be in the ministry because I seldom am sitting two or three people down who are bickering. And when I say seldom, I mean like I can count on one hand in the 25 years I've been your pastor. I'm not saying seldom like in five times a year. I am saying to you that we have enjoyed a sweet spirit in this place. And, you know, I seldom have these situations where, you know, Sister So-and-so isn't talking to Sister So-and-so, and there's this conflict, and it's about to blow up and boil over into this class and that class and this children's church. It doesn't happen. Praise the Lord. You know what you've allowed? You've allowed my role as the watcher of your soul to be a joy. That's exciting. Wow. That's the way it can be for mom and dad, too. And if your parents are not enjoying being parents, you must recognize, kids, that you have some responsibility here. This is what the Bible's talking about. This is what it means to honor your father and your mother, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. And now listen to the last part of the verse. For that, now what is the that there? It says, listen to what it says. It says, obey them that have the rule, submit yourselves, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that, so what's that referring to? Right. The fact that they're doing this with joy and not with grief, that concept, listen to what it says, is profitable for you. Apply that to yourselves, teenagers. You want to make your parents better parents, like right now? Then start obeying them that have the rule over you, submitting yourselves to them, so that they might have the joy of the responsibility they have and not grief. And it's amazing how profitable that becomes to you. Every teenager here knows that if they are being obedient and submissive and honoring their mom and dad, and they say, can I go? It's much more likely to have a yes answer in that case. So that's what we're going to be looking at tonight, real quickly. I say real quickly, I got to speed all this up. I'm already taking a lot of time, but we're going to look at what it means to be honoring and obedient to your parents. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs, and we're going to spend most of our time in Proverbs. These you can turn to because it's all one book, but there's a bunch of verses, and we'll flip-flop back and forth. We'll go in order, though, so that you don't have to flip-flop, I guess, but you'll just kind of move from one to the next. Proverbs chapter 10 is where we're going to start. Proverbs chapter 10, when somebody gets their swords drawn charge, read it. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. Verse 1. When you get there, read it for me, good and loud. Okay, listen up. This is for the kids. We're talking about how do we go about honoring mom and dad. Now, what we're going to look at in Proverbs is very simple. There's two things spoken of in Proverbs. Being wise, or not two things only, but two major themes here. They're spoken of in Proverbs, especially as it relates to children and parents. Being wise or being, what do you think the other one is? Foolish. All right. And you're going to see this back and forth as Solomon is giving us these Proverbs. A wise son maketh a glad father. So the Bible says. If you are a wise son, you're going to make your father glad. That's what the Bible says. And God's word is true. But listen to what the rest of it says. But a foolish son is heaviness to his mother. You have a responsibility to honor mom and dad. And the way you honor mom and dad is to be the wise son, not the foolish one. And we're going to end up trying to help you understand what it means to be wise and foolish in those different aspects. Chapter 15, verse 20. We're still in Proverbs. Chapter 15, verse 20. Swords drawn charge. When you get there, somebody read it for me, please. So we have the glad father again, right? A wise son maketh the glad father, but the foolish man, now by the way, this says man, right? So we never stop honoring mom and dad. A foolish man despiseth his mother. I mean, it is like saying, every time you and I do foolish things, teenager, it's like saying to our mother, I hate you. I wish you weren't my mother. Wow, that's hurtful. So the Bible says, this foolish man despises his mother. And we do not want to be that person. We want to be that one who is showing honor and being obedient. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 13. Proverbs 19, 13 says, now, the thing about the wife, I'll just bring up, it's not really our subject matter tonight, all right? But it does say, a foolish son is the calamity of the father. Now, how many of you, be honest, how many of you have ever played the role of a foolish son? Am I the only foolish son in the room? No, okay. There's four or five of you. Thank you. I'm glad I'm not alone. You know, most of you know my stories. And I mean, I've done a lot of foolish things, big ones, some of them, you know, when I got arrested, you know, that one. But, you know, I remember we had 10-foot ceilings in our house growing up, big old farmhouse built in 1852. And so I went into the restroom one day and I got bored and there were cotton balls there. And I discovered that if you wet the cotton balls down in the sink and threw them up, they'd stick to the ceiling. I'm probably 10, I don't know, 8, 10, someplace in there. Now, old enough to know better, but foolish enough to do this. And so, I don't know, I get about 20 of them up there, and then I start looking. Huh. I don't know what to do. I mean, I'm this little kid. Those are 10-foot ceilings. They may as well be a mile high, right? So, I just walk out of the room. And they're there all day long. My mom comes home in the evening, and she looks up and sees those things. Now, I'm going to tell you the bad part. It required getting up on a ladder with a scraper and scraping those things. They were glued to the ceiling. Foolish things. Now, that's not that big of a deal on the foolish things. I know as things go that are foolish, it's just an annoyance. I'm aware. But we need to make sure that every choice that we're making, whether it's the annoyance or whether it's the really big things, that we are honoring our mom and our dad, that we are obeying them. Proverbs chapter 9, I'm sorry, chapter 29, verse 15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom. Now listen up, mom and dad, all right? Did you catch all of this? What is it that's going to make you a glad father and a good father? It's the honor and the obedience of your children, right? It's them choosing wisdom over foolishness, right? How do they do that? The rod and reproof bring wisdom. So the Bible says. You're not going to get around this one. In order for you and I to bring our children to wisdom, we are going to have to discipline. Now, you know, I love a lot of those verses in the Bible. I do. I think that they're just fun to frighten your kids half to death with. You know, it's, what's that one that says something about using the rod for it will not kill him? I love that verse. Listen, buddy. You know, I'm just kidding. God's not encouraging you to be, you know, brutal to your children and to beat them up, and that's not what God's saying. But he is saying to you and I, mom and dad, we got to step up to the plate. We will raise foolish children if we do not apply the rod and reproof. That's what brings wisdom, that's what the Bible says. And since wisdom and not foolishness is going to bring about this concept of honor and obedience, and that's going to bring us about to having joy in our responsibility of parenting, then we better do our job, right? Because a child left to himself, is a shame to his mother. You know, it's not going to work. You've got to do that. It's not easy. I know. I'm well aware. It's not easy to be consistent. And sometimes you just feel like you are being brutal because you're expecting that obedience and submission is a part of what they are supposed to show toward you. And that would be biblical and right. So it's a delicate balance. You've got to find that balance there. And, I'm not encouraging you to beat your kids up. So what I want to spend the last part of this time is, because I'm running out of time, is let's figure out some things that are foolish. And tonight we'll just focus on some things that are foolish. Maybe next week we'll look at some things that are wise. You can go ahead and turn your Bibles, if you would, to a couple places. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 21. Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 19. If you'll look at those, some of you look at those, you're going to see some foolish choices. Now, I'm going to talk more along to the teenagers and to the college students and to, you know, young adults who are trying to figure out how to show honor and obedience to mom and dad, especially honor, since it never goes away in the Scripture. Obedience, we might be able to argue that there's a point at which you establish your own home and you take that responsibility. So we're going to look at that. You can read those passages over. Now I'm going to answer those questions for the teenagers. When is it right? When is the proper age to date? I have been a youth pastor most of my life, if I count being a pastor as being a youth pastor, and I do because I do a lot with our teenagers. So I kind of count it side by side. I just have help along the way, which is great. But I've listened to this bantied back and forth. I've had people argue a date, an age, this and this and this. I mean, it's been silly. But let me prove to you from the Scripture what it is. Listen to it. I'll give it to you again. Children, obey your parents in all things. Now, I don't have any idea. I don't know what the proper age is for you to be able to develop a relationship with someone of the opposite gender. I don't know. But it's not for me to know. Here is what I do know. If your parents have established that it's 18, then your job is to obey and submit and take this as if it is of the Lord, because this is right in the sight of God. That's what the Bible says. I'm not the head of your home. And God didn't give us an age. He gave you parents. That's what he did. In our home, we didn't let our kids start driving at 16. But they're allowed to get their license. The law says, the law doesn't rule my home. You understand? We made our kids wait till they were 17 and get their license. You're so mean, Pastor. I know, look, they're all disjointed because of it. They're fine. You understand? They're fine. We had a rule that we were really hard and fast for JD. It's always the first one that gets the worst part, right? Then the second one, you lighten up a little bit. That's just the way it is. I can't help it. You can argue the point. JD can get bitter about it if that's what he wants to do. But he can't look at the Scripture and point to anything else. So I'm the dad. So back when my kids were teenagers, we've always been involved with teenagers. And they've always had friends that are, you know, in the youth group. And we just simply had a rule for JD anyway. We were pretty strict about it. That teenagers couldn't drive my kids around in a car. You know, if my kids wanted to go someplace, then I'd take them or whatever. But I wasn't going to, no offense to any teenager in particular, I just was not going to, these are my kids. These are my kids, right? And I've read all the stories and been to enough traffic accident scenes that I did not want to put my kids in harm's way. And so I just simply said, no, I'm sorry. I'm glad you can drive. We'll meet you there. And I offended more parents than anybody else. I really did. More parents. Then, you know, I'm being honest. When Mia came along, we began to, it was, now we had a teenager. I was going to put her in the car with my own teenager now, right? JD is like, the rule has to kind of flex a little bit there. JD, you can drive your sister too, right? Because I knew his driving. I knew what he was able to do and what I could, you know, entrust him with. And so things did change a little bit. But you know when it's right for you to start driving, teenager? When your mom and dad say. Say, they're unreasonable. Then here's what I would suggest you do. Pray. Pray. Oh, you can come to your pastor and youth pastor. We love to get involved in this kind of stuff, don't we, Pastor Andrew? What do you think, Pastor Andrew? Don't you love when they start out that way? Pastor Andrew, do you think, and you know they're pitting you against mom and dad. And when we're really alert and awake, when we've had our coffee, or he doesn't drink coffee, when I have my coffee, I say, well, what do your parents think? You know, otherwise they back me into a corner, I open my mouth and insert my foot, right? And they say, well, my dad says, oh, well, you know what, your dad's right. That's what you need to do. Because that's what the Bible says. And the way you're going to honor them is to give them the authority that they are due. You are to obey and submit. That's what the Bible says. I have never once, never one time, I have worked with teenagers for 30 years now almost. I have never one time had parents come and say to me, I don't know what I'm going to do. My kid wants to go to church and read his Bible. Never had that happen. My kid turns the television off and does his homework all by himself. I've never had him stew and fret about it. Never have. But I have had, I can't tell you how many conversations of parents saying, my kid's flunking school, and I can't get him to shut off the machine over there and quit playing video games to get his homework done. And when kids do not submit and honor and obey, it makes parenting a burden. And mom and dad get tired. And I'm not excusing them. What they ought to do is get out the rod, because that brings wisdom. So it does. But they do get tired. And you've worn them down. And they have now kind of stepped back, and they're willing to let you. Listen, this is an important concept. You know what an umbrella does, right? What does an umbrella do? Covers you and keeps the rain from hitting you, right? You stand under the umbrella, you don't get the rain doesn't hit you. Mom and dad are your umbrella for the wrath of God. Do you understand this? Because the wrath of God has come down upon the children of disobedience, the Bible says. And mom and dad are your umbrella. And they protect you so that when you're in brutish, again, those of you who remember that one, when you're not doing right, mom and dad are there to protect you. And when you wear mom and dad down and they just get tired and they finally just sit down, they take the umbrella with them. And now you are standing face to face with the God of the universe who gave the command, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And the umbrella's gone. And you're going to deal with God. And if you think mom and dad's rod hurts, you wait until you find who, like as a father, pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. But whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and correcteth every son. And you wait till you're facing God one-on-one. Mom and dad are your umbrella. And the way you keep that umbrella intact is to honor and obey. So as we've turned to these other passages, I'm out of time. I know. What time is it? I got a couple more minutes. Good. All right. As we've turned to these other passages, 2 Timothy, Romans chapter 1, Galatians chapter 5. Those of you who've had a chance to look at them, I've got them here in front of me. I can read. But just tell me something that you found in there that would represent a foolish thing. Something that would keep your kids from honoring and showing obedience. Some of them are heavy, I know. I'm aware. I'm waiting. What'd you find? We're in Galatians, Romans chapter 1, starting verse 21. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting verse 1. Galatians chapter 5, starting verse 19. What do you find? Unthankfulness. It's in there. It's in the Bible. Your parents didn't make it up. I didn't make it up. It's Thanksgiving. Unthankfulness. By the way, what's being described are the works of the flesh. What's being described are the works of those who are falling under the judgment of God. What's being described are those who are described in the end times who are living as if God doesn't see, doesn't know, and doesn't care what they're doing. And one of those things is unthankfulness. And every parent sitting here knows what it's like to face a child that's ungrateful. And every parent knows what it's like, because on occasion you've had those children that are grateful. And you know, it's an amazing thing when your children are grateful. Somebody who's a parent, tell me, what do you want to do when your children are grateful? What do you think? When you give your kids something and they're grateful for it, what do you want to do? Give them more. That's what you want to do. You want to give them more. Like, wow, that was fun. I enjoyed that one. I think we'll do something else. Let's get them something else. But when your kids are ungrateful, what do you want to do? I mean, after you slap them upside the head. Yeah, you get the idea. We've all been there. We've all known what it was like to have a kid that was ungrateful. And God himself brings this up as something that he shows as a dishonor to the one who's given the command. Somebody else, tell me something. Selfishness. It's in there. Read these passages of Scripture. Say, I want to honor my father and my mother. Then start being thankful. I want to honor my father and my mother. Then quit being selfish. Guess what? I don't know if you've been aware of this yet, teenager, but you're about to find out. The world does not revolve around you. Now, I know your parents have said that to you before. They're right. It doesn't. You know, it's like this illustration's so old, but anyway, the farmer who had a farmhand, right? And the farmer said, you know what, I'm tired of your attitude. I'm going to have to let you go. And the farmhand said, you can't run this farm without me. You'll never be able to survive without me. And the farmer says, come here, let me show you something. Takes him over to the water trough. Says, stick your arm down in there. Sticks his arm down in there. Farmer says, now pull your arm out and see how big of a hole you leave. Yeah, some of you are getting it. Yeah, you're not leaving a hole in water. And the world does not revolve around you, teenager. The world does not revolve around you, college student. The world does not revolve around you, 10-year-old. That's not the case. Quit being so selfish and thinking that everybody owes you something. And can I just help you out here? What are things that are like selfish behavior? I want to be careful because I love your kids. I do. But you know, selfish behavior is when kids knock people over in the hallway. They're only thinking about themselves, not thinking about other people. Selfish behavior, mom and dad, is when you choose to be late. Like everybody else's time is meaningless and yours is the most important. Right? Selfish behavior is those. That's selfish behavior. And God says, this is the way that you dishonor me, and I'm going to say to you, this is the way you dishonor your parents as well. You want to be that person, that kid who's honoring mom and dad? Then be thankful. Be unselfish. What's another thing that's in there? There's only about 50 of them in these lists that I've given you. So, carnality, worldly, loving stuff, loving, applause of men more than the applause of God. And in this case, the applause of God is the applause of your mom and dad, right? Honoring them. And when we allow ourselves, do you remember some of the Bible stories, some of the sons that broke their parents' hearts, like Samson? Because he was carnal and fleshly and wicked, like Absalom. They broke their parents' hearts because they all of a sudden saw the world. And here your mom and dad have been working for the last 13, 14, 15 years trying to guard you from the world so that they can help you to enter into life without so many scars. And then like the prodigal son, you've said, Mom, Dad, I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to be under your roof anymore. I want to go out there and see what everything else is about. And you break Mom and Dad's heart. And you do. You want to honor Mom and Dad? Then choose wisely. Don't be foolish. You want to honor Mom and Dad? Be thankful. You want to honor Mom and Dad? Don't be selfish. Give me one more. We'll have to stop. Laziness. Yes, it's in there. Take a look at these verses. It's there. Lazy. I stand at the door. You know, well, I don't anymore. I haven't done this for most of the school year. Stand at the door and sing. And one of the songs I sing is Lazy Bones. You're moving in. Those of you who know Patch Bart. In slow motion. And so it's so much fun to stand at the door and sing, watch the kids getting out of the car. And then I start singing, and Mom and Dad are like, amen, let them have it. You know, but don't be lazy. Hey, I don't know if you're aware. I don't know if you're aware, teenager. I keep saying teenager because you're old enough to understand, but I could go all the way down to 8-year-olds, maybe younger, and say this. The house does not clean itself. I know you come home and miraculously it's clean and supper's ready. But it didn't just happen. You understand? And as you get old enough, it's time to start picking. Now, I'm saying this knowing that I have a pile of stuff sitting on the dining room table at my house right now. My wife's saying, amen, John, listen to your preaching. I know how this works. And I'm well aware that my house doesn't clean itself. And I'm well aware that I don't clean it either. You get the idea? That we are supposed to then, as we want to show honor, we put laziness aside and we take on this wonderful thing called responsibility. It's the way we honor Mom and Dad. Because a child left to himself brings shame. So you know what the opposite is of a child left to himself? A child given something to do. Right? That's the opposite. A child left to himself has nothing to do. So we give our children something to do. And when our children do that, they remove the burden of parenting and make it a joy. And they honor us. We could go on about our reputations, about a good name is rather to be chosen. And we go out and bring shame to that name. We bring burden to Mom and Dad. The way we honor and obey them is to choose wisely, not foolishly. And so we're going to finish this up next week. The young people, this is what we're doing. Here's what I know. If we were to go around the room, every single young person in here loves their mom and dad. They love them. I've had many a teenager say to me, I hate my dad or I hate my mom. And I always say to them, no, you don't. And I'll argue with them somewhat. I said, I'm going to prove this to you. I'm going to prove it to you. Because what you don't know, and I do this, I'm serious. Because what you don't know is right before you got here, I got a call. And your dad had a heart attack. And that kid just breaks. He said, that's cruel, Pastor John. No, it's not. He needs to understand. And all of a sudden I say, guess what? He didn't. But you love him. And that's what it is when we love our parents. Then let's show that by honoring them and obeying them. And all of a sudden, the burden of parenting is lifted. And it's so much fun to be at home. What a great thing. Every parent longs for those days, right? And kids, you can cooperate and help it to happen. Father,